Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We've got Jamie Golombek joining us again today, a regular recurring guest and contributor to More Than Money. He's a managing director, tax and estate planning at CIBC Private Wealth. Faisal, we get lots of questions about, should I contribute to an RSP or should I contribute to a TFSA? How do I make that decision?
Yeah.
Why don't we shed some light on
that? It's interesting because when you ask the question, what's the concern, it's very emotive. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, well, the government's going to tax me when I take the money out. In a TFSA, I don't have to take any penny tax.
Right.
What we're missing is the process between today and when you take the money out and what's the real numbers. And of course, when you need real numbers and when it comes to tax, you got to bring in Jamie Golombek. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
Okay, well, let's get to it. Let's talk a little bit about when you should. Let's start with the RSP. What should somebody be thinking about to determine whether or not they should be contributing to an RSP?
Yeah, well, I think at the outset, I would say, look, if you have money to do both, obviously you want to do both, okay? But what we're really, the debate that we keep coming back to every RSP season is, if I have limited money because I still have all these expenses and things like that, and I can't maximize both an RSP and a TFSA because clearly both of them beat non-registered investing, and we can come back to that later, then, you know, how do you choose? And I think it really comes down to your expectation of your tax rate later on. If you're in a relatively high bracket right now, middle to high bracket, and when you retire, you will be in a lower bracket, like most people, not everyone, most people will be in a lower bracket when they retire because they don't have their source of employment income, business income, et cetera. They're living on investments and on registered plans. Then I would say the RSP wins out. You're getting a deduction at a high rate and you have an income inclusion at a low rate. On the other hand, if someone's in a low bracket, I would call low anywhere under $45,000 a year. Your tax rate is very, very low. I'd pay the tax now on my money, take the after-tax amount, contribute that to a TFSA because you can only go up later on. So why not enjoy the tax-free benefits in both plans, which, by the way, are mathematically identical? The only difference comes down to the tax rate at the time of contribution versus the tax rate at the time of withdrawal.
So Jamie, here's a conversation I had with a client's child. Okay, the child calls me up and says, "Faisal, should I put money in my RSPs?" Well, I'm like, "Well, yeah, you should. Long term, it's a good idea." I go, "What do you need the money for? What's the objective of the money?" Well, I might need it to go on a trip, or I might need it to buy a house, or I might need it for multiple objectives. And I go, "Then why are you looking at the RSP as the solution if it's not for retirement savings?" And I think sometimes Canadians try to put all of their objectives into two different tax-sheltered vehicles, either RRSP or TFSA. So walk us through, when should we be really considering the TFSA and not the RSP outside of a tax perspective?
Oh, absolutely. And you brought up probably the biggest concern. We hear this all the time when I try to write these articles is, you know, what is the purpose of the funds? If your purpose is short term, in other words, you want the money short term, the TFSA is your way to go because of the flexibility. You can contribute to a TFSA, have the money earn tax-free investment income and growth, take the money out tax-free anytime you want. And the best part, of course, is that you can recontribute all amounts withdrawn, not just the contributions, by the way, all amounts withdrawn, contributions, income, and growth back to your TFSA beginning the following calendar year. That is not something you can do with an RSP unless you have new RSP room based on your earned income. So that's the additional flexibility that you have with the TFSA, the ability to recontribute back. Of course, you mentioned briefly, you know, buying a home. I would argue that they're both good options because the RSP allows you to borrow money out of the home buyer's plan. The TFSA allows you to take money out to buy a home, and both of them can certainly be repaid back.
You know, it speaks, Faisal, to getting proper advice, right? There's different mechanisms in each of these different types of accounts, tax sheltering and non-tax shelter, TFSA, RSP, whatever it might be, which can be either advantageous or detrimental depending on what the purpose of the funds are ultimately designed to do. Jimmy, you alluded to earlier some math. Now, math doesn't make for good radio, but can you help people understand the power of the tax-free compounding of growth? So when you're comparing, say, TFSA, RSP, some of the math you do there to demonstrate the power of that over time versus tax-exposed accounts. Can you go through that and give people a sense of the impact of that?
Yeah, I mean, again, very hard to do the math on the radio. Certainly, I encourage people to read the article. People can contact you guys for a copy of it. It's certainly available online. But basically, the bottom line is that the rate of return that you're getting on your net RSP contribution is effectively tax-free. And you're getting the same type of return on the TFSA. It's completely tax-free. So the real benefit of the RSP, other than a change in tax rates, you know, high now and low later, is the fact that if you didn't put money into the RSP, you end up paying tax right now on that employment income that you or business income that you didn't put into the RSP. And that means that you have less money to invest. And when you invest that in a non-registered account, whatever type of income you earn is going to be taxable. As opposed to the RSP, you have more money working for you. And effectively what's happening with that money is that you're investing it inside of the RSP. You're earning effectively a tax-free rate of return because when you take the money out, yes, you are going to pay tax on the withdrawal. When you actually compare the differences, you'll see that, in fact, the investment income on the net contribution, net meaning the amount you've contributed less the tax effective amount, is actually zero. There is actually no tax on the growth of the RSP. It's exactly mathematically the same as the TFSA, and people can even go online and Google, you know, Golombek RSP versus TFSA or CIVC, and you're going to find the articles that we've written about this. We have numerous reports, numerous examples proving the math behind all of that stuff.
What about the kill two birds with one stone mentality? Put the money in the RSPs, take your tax refund, put that in TFSA or pay down debt. That's a strategy or an idea that many people have thought of as a way of hitting multiple goals. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, look, it's just a mishmash. It's obviously not the right thing to do if you make a mathematical decision about retirement rates. In other words, if you don't have the money to maximize both, doing a bit of some and a bit of the other is basically, you know, rolling the dice. If you think you're going to be in a lower tax bracket, I know I'm going to be in a lower tax bracket when I retire. I'm going to make sure that I maximize my entire RSP before I put 1 cent into the TFSA. If I get a refund from my RSP, you know what I do? I put it back into the RSP to catch up on 2021's contribution or on any prior years that I might have missed. So this idea of doing a bit of both, it may make sense in some cases where you want that flexibility that we talked about earlier. You're saving for a wedding reception. You got to buy a new car. You have a leaky roof. You're saving for some other occasion where you want to use the flexibility of the TFSA. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the math. If you have a pretty good idea that you're going to be in a lower tax bracket later on, all the money should go into the RSP, and at the end of the day, the refund should go back into the RSP until you've fully maximized your room.
Jamie, thanks for your input, all your work, and if anybody wants a copy of these articles, they can certainly contact us, and we'll get you that copy. Thanks for your time again today, Jamie.
My pleasure. Take care, guys.
All right. We've been joined by Jamie Golombek, who's the Managing Director of Tax and Estate Planning at CIBC Private Wealth. You know, Jamie said something very interesting, germane to what we talk about all the time. The math doesn't lie.
Correct.
Okay. And so when you're planning for retirement and where, you know, the lifestyle that you want, do the math.
Yeah.
The math won't lie to you, right? That's you can right. lie to yourself, but the math isn't going to lie to you. Yeah. And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah. I think the biggest issue you're going to have through retirement is going to be the amount of money you pay in tax. That's going to take away from your lifestyle. So we're going to talk about how to bulletproof your retirement and save on taxes the whole time. And that'll be on Tuesday, February 23rd, 7 p.m., live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right. You ever thought about part of your lifestyle being chartering a yacht and traveling around? Dare to dream. Stick around after the break because we're going to talk to two people who are doing that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.